Blog Talk Radio.
This is a Private Officer Beat Radio with Rick McCann at the microphone. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to today's edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio, a production of Blue Ram Media Group, LLC, and Private Officer International. Of course, we are the voice of the frontline protector here for almost 20 years now. We've got a lot to talk about today, and of course, a lot of breaking news. Sadly, we also have several officer down reports that occurred over the weekend, including one private police officer, and we'll tell you more about that right after the first break. I hope that you enjoyed the trilogy, 3 weeks connecting the dots between technology and physical security. Now, some did like it and let us know on social media and via email, and a few did not, and that's fine. Not everyone is always going to agree all the time. In fact, more times than not, they won't. Everyone, of course, has their own opinion, and that's the world that we live in, and that's how God made us, so that's all good with me. But today, we're going to be talking about another subject, and it's one that we have talked about repeatedly for years, and that is, when, if ever, should a security officer leave their premise where they are assigned to protect, where they are under contract to go help someone else or to intervene in a crime that they are seeing occurred but not on their property? And while we have had this discussion throughout the years, and there have been many pros and cons given, just in the last month, there have been two incidents where security officers not only violated their contract, but also could be charged in the incident. And we'll talk about that at the bottom of today's radio program. Remember, we have several great opportunities for you to be involved in training August 10th and 11th. This is a security and police conference, free of charge, being offered in Tinsley Park, Illinois, in the greater Chicago area. There's no cost. So if you live in Illinois or Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, or any place in that neck of the woods, this would be a jump, hop, and skip, as my grandpa used to say, over there, and you would be able to get free training. There's also going to be a number of exhibitors, and you're going to have a great opportunity to network. I myself, a couple of our cohorts, will be there from POI, and we hope to see you there. For more information, you can go to our website, send us an email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com, or go to the Security Police Expo website. Just put that in your address bar, and I'm sure that will pop up. Also, we have a brand new conference coming up this year in beautiful Gulf Coast of Alabama. This is a 3-day event, September 26th, 27th, and 28th. You're going to have an opportunity to get some great training from multiple instructors and speakers, as well as we're also going to have an expo. And on the third day, you will get a chance to be certified in less lethal options, including OC and taser. For more information, go to our website at privateofficer.org. Remember, these are free events. That doesn't happen very often. I just signed up for another conference. $850 was the going cost. Very expensive even for me, believe me. It's not something I do every year or every day, but this year it seems like there's a lot of good conferences coming up and I don't want to miss out. For more information on the Private Officer International Conference, go to privateofficer.org. And be sure to hop on our social media at facebook.com/privateofficerinternational and also over on Twitter at twitter.com/privateofficer. You can also read all of our breaking news every single day at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. And anytime you have a question, you want to give us a news tip, a shout out, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Be sure to also check out all the great courses at Armour, A-R-M-O-U-R, college.org. They're updated all the time. We are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back here. You're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector here on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Check, please.
David, you okay to drive?
Yeah, I only had a couple drinks. I'm fine.
Come on.
Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. Whether you're looking for the top quality protective armor or protective clothing, stab-resistant vests or gloves, contact my friend Ben over at Body Armor USA. Give him a call, 516 area code, 817-1666. Again, that's area code 516-817-1666. Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. No doubt about it.
This past week, we've had at least 9 confirmed security officers shot in the line of duty, 2 resulting in fatalities. According to the information that we have been able to gather in the last 7 days, there have been at least 34 shootings involving private security in the U.S. Of those shootings, multiple security officers were shot and injured. Security officers fatally killed 4 people, and at least 2 security officers were killed. One of those security officers was actually a private police officer in the state of Virginia, employed by Wintergreen Police Department, a private community between Lynchburg and Roanoke in the mountains region of Virginia. This private police officer, a sworn officer, had been on the job for 4 years. He was 31 years old, Mark Christopher Wagner II. He responded to a possible domestic disturbance within the private community on Arrowwood Lane, and according to the report, a man assaulted several people. When the officer arrived, a struggle ensued for his duty weapon, and he was shot and killed by his own weapon. Unfortunately, this police officer, he had no backup with him at that time. Although he did have radio communications, Wintergreen Police, a private police department, has a fully sworn contingency of officers. They have a 24-hour dispatch. They are a police department within a private community. A second known and verified security officer death was a security officer who died after a stabbing. The security officer was stabbed during a confrontation in Washington, D.C., transported to a local hospital where he died about a day and a half later His name has not been released. Currently, we are also verifying at least one other security officer death during the past 7 days. We will continue to see a substantial increase in private security officer deaths during the summer and into the cooler month, and winter always is a very busy time. Security officers, as I've said more than 1,000 times, often work alone, no radio communication, no backup, and no training. Unfortunately, that leaves them to fend for themselves. Hopefully, they survive. Hopefully, they will get help. Hopefully, they will be able to reach out and make a call to 911, but that's not always the case. We see violence in the security industry every day, multiple times a day, as we see about 3,000 plus news feeds daily in our office. Remember, if you see any news in your community about a security officer being killed in the line of duty, or shot, or stabbed, or injured, or some other news headline that you think that we need to know about, please send it to help. I'm currently on a 20-day training trip up and down the Eastern Seaboard and covering numerous states. And I had an opportunity last week to stop in Atlanta and was able to do some video recording for one of our upcoming shows and interview a security professional who's been in the business as well as law enforcement for quite some time, and also schedule a potential sit down to do a roundtable with several security companies, and they're reaching out to their local police, and hopefully we can make this thing happen. And it was very interesting to see all of the changes in the security business in Metro Atlanta. Now, one of the things that Kip told me was that although times are changing and there's a lot of different types of clientele as opposed to just 10 years ago, I mean, they're getting calls from a lot of community organizations to patrol a lot of business districts. And what he said was exactly what we're seeing across the country, and that is, although the demand for security is extremely high, probably at an all-time high, really, if you look at all of the numbers from the last 10 years, last 5 years, last 2 years, but the regulatory changes are very slow. The requirements for training, the process in how do you get the applicant to the time that you get them on the job hasn't changed a whole lot in the last 50 years. Oh, yeah. There has been some changes in some regulatory agencies, but those have been few and far between. One of those, of course, I may have talked about this last week, but one of those is California. California didn't really have a use of force training requirement per se. They had a WMD, but you know what? Which is very unusual because California is a pretty strict regulatory state, and you would think that use of force and de-escalation and active shooter was all part of their training. But you know what? It really wasn't, and it never has been. And even with the new 8-hour training that they are, trying to initiate, it's not enough, and it's not going to cover all of the areas that it should. Tennessee just passed a new law as well for all proprietary and contract security. In order to be a security officer in Tennessee, you have to be licensed and you have to go through minimal training, but they just passed a new law that now you also have to go through active shooter training. And that makes sense because there's a lot of school shootings and church shootings and so forth, but how much can you do if you're an unarmed security officer? You could have the training, but you're still not going to be prepared. You're still not going to be capable of defending yourself, let alone others. So a lot of the regulatory changes that are coming about don't make sense. We know that politicians and untrained, unskilled individuals are part of that regulatory training and regulatory industry process, and they don't really have anyone that I would say is qualified to make those decisions. And yes, they are making those decisions every single day. Unfortunately, we're seeing more and more situations where security is forced to use force, and it's not working out well for them because they're being prosecuted, as is law enforcement these days. Just read yesterday that three more police officers were arrested in the shooting death of a woman. And you're not on the street. You're not in the moment. You're not seeing, hearing, or feeling everything that these police and security officers are. There's no way to Monday quarterback these situations. You weren't there. You don't know. If somebody is reaching inside their waistband and you keep telling them, keep your hands away, put your hands up, get on the ground, and they're not doing it, but they're reaching to the front, they're reaching toward their waistband, or they're even putting their hand down into their pants, I got news for you, my friend. As far as I'm concerned, you're going for a weapon, and I have to defend myself. Unfortunately, you know, prosecutors don't look at it that way. Civilians don't look at it that way. Even the police these days don't look at it that way, even though they, too, are now being prosecuted more than ever. They're being second-guessed. They're being told, oh, you could have waited. Oh, you should have backed off. Oh, it wasn't necessary force. But the people making those decisions were not there. I do agree that there's going to be quite a bit of changes for private security as far as force training is required. We are seeing more security officers being armed. We are seeing more security officers carrying patrol rifles. It used to be that in some states, security officers would have a shotgun. They might have a duty weapon on their side, but they would have a shotgun in the car. Now many are carrying AR-15 platform-type rifles where it's legal. I'm not sure, other than maybe a high-risk response, where you're going to use those, or an active shooter situation, where you're going to use a patrol rifle. But it's a good weapon to have. But there's no additional training, or very little training, I should say, and very little oversight from the company. And I'm just, I'm worried, really. But on the plus side, we're seeing some movement. People are realizing that not all security are stupid. Cop wannabes, bottom of the barrel feeders, people that can't get any other job. People are beginning to realize. I just heard a podcast yesterday, two ladies, reporters, talking about security and some of the recent fatal shootings by security in California. And then they talked about Maryland and one or two other places where there had been recent shootings by security. And one of the reporters spoke up and said, you got to understand, these people are doing what the police used to do. These people are being put on the hot seat. They're being put into situations where they have to make quick decisions, and they're doing the best they can with the training that they have. And I said, kudos to you, and sent her a Twitter note. And, yeah, some people are getting it. Some people are seeing it. We have to take a quick break, but when I come back, man, we got a lot of breaking news. I really want to talk about some other things that's coming up and a whole lot more. You're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector right here on the Private Officer B Radio.
Are you looking for the finest private security officer training in the Charlotte metropolitan area? Do you need PPS qualifications in armed or unarmed training? Or maybe you're over there across the line in South Carolina and you need the sled training. Well, we've got the right training at the right time for you. Premier Training Academy, located at 5624 Executive Center Drive, Suite 142 in Metropolitan Charlotte, North Carolina. Give them a call today, 704-806-4933. They also offer firearms training, personal protection, first aid and CPR, and so much more. Call John at 704-806-4933.
Slow down.
Slow down and move over.
And move over.
When you see lights,
best. I'll be flectors.
Please, give us some room. Slow down and move over.
When you need us,
we've got your back.
You have ours.
You got our back?
You got ours? You got our back? Please, slow down.
And move over.
I want to welcome you back to the Voice of the Frontline Protector right here on the Private Officer Beat Radio, a production of Blue Ram Media Group, LLC, and Private Officer International. Remember, you can be part of the conversation 24 hours a day. Go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/ Private Officer International or privateofficer.org. You can also go to twitter.com/ Private Officer, be part of the whole conversation. You can also go to our 24-hour, 7-day-a-week news blog at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. And we've got several other social media sites as well, including YouTube, Private Officer International. And we're putting in a brand new feature, and that is we're going to have an online system where you'll be able to leave comments audibly, you'll be able to text us immediately, and we'll be rolling that out in September, maybe August, but September is where we're shooting for. And I just said a moment ago that I was shooting some video in Atlanta for our upcoming shows. The Frontline Protector Network is not dead, but it has been ill. We've had a lot of drawbacks. We had COVID for several years. I couldn't get out into the field to record. Just had somebody email on Friday asking, hey, what about this? It's been on your website for almost 2 years. And that is true. However, there's a lot to production. And we are looking for some production assistance. If you have any skills putting videos together, or if you know a lot about editing videos, contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Coming up in our Private Officer International Conference that's being held in Daphne, Alabama, right along the beautiful Gulf Coast, we've also included Officer Dom Memorial Service. So on the last day, we will also be scheduling a 30-minute or 45-minute Officer Dom presentation. We'll be reading off those officers lost in the line of duty in the last 12 months. And we'll be talking about how we go about gathering the information and how you can be a big part of that. Remember, if you do see something happening in your neck of the woods, you see something happening in the security or law enforcement, you see an officer down, officer injured, please send that information to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Trust me, friends, when I say we cannot do this without your help. We really just cannot. We will not exist if you do not participate. And unfortunately, with thousands of members and tens of thousands of subscribers to our social media, our newsletters, everything that we put out, we still don't have much of a active community. And I think that's sad. I say this all the time. in law enforcement, the fire service, EMS, people are part of their profession. You don't see that in private security. If you would like to speak on our radio show, you have something you want to talk about, contact us, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We will also have another call-in forum coming up here in a few weeks where you will be able to be part of that roundtable live, and we'll be sending out news alerts on that and posting it to our social media as well. Remember that this is a growing profession, and it is, although it's not as put together as it should be, it's trying in certain hubs. And in my conversation with Kip in Atlanta, you know, we were on the same page. We were on the same wavelength. And it's one thing to say that you provide services, and it's one thing to have a regulatory body tell you that this is the amount of training necessary. But the reality is it nowhere matches law enforcement. And, again, that's something that those two reporters were talking about on their radio show that I just listened to. Although some states have a little bit more training requirements than others, it just doesn't match. It doesn't. 40 hours should be the minimum for use of force. Kip and I talked about mental health. We need to go through at least 8 to 16 hours minimum of mental health awareness, mental health information, and training. De-escalation. We don't need 2 hours or 1 hour or 20 minutes. We need at least 16 to 24 hours, if not more. One of the courses I have is a law enforcement course that I took quite a number of years ago, and it has to be renewed annually. And it's a crisis intervention technique course certification for law enforcement. That's what private security needs to have desperately, desperately. I don't think that is the type of course that we can put on PowerPoint. I don't think it's the type of training that we can do on the radio show or by audio or even by video. You really need to get out there and get hands-on. We're going to take another quick break. You're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector right here on the Private Officer Beat Radio. We'll be right back.
There was the explosion, and I remember just opening my eyes, and it got both of my legs. Had surgery after surgery, and what's going to happen next? The Wounded Warrior Project said, look, brother, everything's going to be okay. 3 months from now, 4 months from now, a year from now, you'll be fine. I don't know if I would be as well adjusted as I am now if it wasn't for them.
To learn more, call 1-877-832-6997 or visit woundedwarriorproject.org.
Can we be real for a minute? I'm a high school math teacher, and I'm a firefighter.
Sam, we're going to have you out in just a minute, okay?
I'm a designer.
I'm a retired VP in business.
And I'm a student.
I'm a mother.
I'm a business analyst, and I'm a volunteer firefighter.
You thought we just fought fire?
Firefighters get trained to do so many things.
Right here. Be sharp.
What we do is serious business.
Three quarters of the nation's first responders are volunteers. That includes here in Connecticut. And lately, it's been harder than ever with fewer citizens volunteering.
From teenage cadets like me
to seasoned veterans like me.
So what are you waiting for?
You ready to make a difference?
Ready to join our team?
Your community needs you. We need you. Visit everydayherocc.org or stop by your local firehouse today and take the first step of joining your fire department.
This week, as always, we have a lot of breaking news in Bellingham, Washington. During a music festival, a security officer was shot. Now, police say the suspect was a U.S. Army active duty soldier involved in an active shooting where two others were also shot. This occurred in Bellingham, Washington. James M. Kelly, 26, of Joint Base Lewis-McChord, was booked into the Grant County Jail last week for two counts of murder, two counts of assault, and one count of domestic violence. Police are still investigating exactly what kicked off here, but they said it stems from a domestic violence incident. A security chief, a former security chief of the Youngstown, Ohio City School District is suing. According to the lawsuit, the former employee said that he is owed more than $28,000 in severance pay. William Morvay filed a lawsuit last week in Ohio against the school district. No date for that court. An armed theft suspect was shot and killed by Henderson, Nevada police last week. Authorities say that police were called for a theft in progress. This occurred on West Sunset Road. Police arrived to find an armed suspect fleeing. A shooting occurred, and according to police, police returned fire and the man was killed. An off-duty Atlanta police officer was shot while working security this weekend near the Georgia State University downtown on Cortland Street. Police say the off-duty police officer was working nightclub security when he was shot in the arm. He was transported to the hospital. Two people have been taken into custody. In Natchez, Mississippi, a private security company now patrols the city pools. At one time, it was the police department who provided security while the pools were open during the summer. However, the police department said they can no longer supply manpower, and a security company has been hired to take their place. A Los Angeles security officer pepper sprayed a man after he stabbed a bus driver. Police say a 66-year-old man suspected of stabbing the Metro bus driver has been taken into custody and charged with assault with a deadly weapon. The security officer saw what was happening and immediately came to the aid of the bus driver using pepper spray. Police did take that man into custody without any other force. Private security has cut the theft of vehicles in downtown Santa Monica, California, in half, according to a new study. After a contingent of private security officers and cameras were placed in municipal garages and in the business area downtown, now the city says security has stopped most of the vandalism and most of the car thefts. We have had similar reports in other communities how just the mere presence of private security has aided in reducing the overall crime. This past week, three San Antonio police officers have been charged with the murder. They responded to a situation. A woman fled inside of an apartment. The three police officers called for a supervisor and then escalated the situation by firing into the apartment, killing the woman. The three police officers, Sergeant Alfred Flores, 14-year veteran, Officer Elazar Alejandro, 5 years of service, and Officer Nathaniel Villalobos, 2 years of service, were all released later. According to the investigation, video shows that they could have waited. This is one of those situations that we often talk about. Sometimes you don't have that time to wait. Other times you do. A Target security officer gave a shoplifter a break in Allen Park, Michigan last week after catching the shoplifter. They were released with a warning not to come back. But later that day, the female shoplifter did come back and stole $228.98. Yes, this time she was arrested. In Florence, South Carolina, the city has decided to put armed security officers in all 13 elementary schools. The money is included in the district's $191 million 2023-2024 budget. According to the school superintendent, Richard O'Malley said they can no longer hope and pray that nothing happens at the elementary schools. Now they will hire a contract security company to put armed officers there. Over 1,000 threats were made on North Carolina school campuses this year. According to the North Carolina Task Force for Safer Schools, more than 1,000 calls of threats, more than 1,000 incidents of threats happened in Greenville, South Carolina. This is a medium-sized city along the Interstate 85 corridor. According to statistics, it was dozens of times some days when schools had threats. A security officer described for the media last week in Seattle, Washington, how he responded to a shooting that took the life of a pregnant woman. According to Randy Norberg, he says it keeps him up at night. He can't stop thinking about it. He's a security supervisor for Iron and Oak, a private contract security company who was patrolling the downtown Seattle area when a shooting occurred, he said, about 60 feet from him. He rushed to assist the woman, but unfortunately, her and her unborn child died. An armored truck was robbed in West Covina, California. Police are still on the lookout for the suspects after the robbery at the Chase Bank. This happened just after noon on June the 13th. The suspect, described only as a Latino man, was dressed in a construction uniform, did get away with an undisclosed amount of money. The FBI, the local police department, and other agencies currently are on the lookout and trying to solve this crime. Two Alabama Department of Correction officers have been arrested after they brought contraband into a facility. Authorities say that Lindsey Crystal Poyer, a correctional security officer trainee and at the St. Clair Correctional Facility, brought in marijuana, and another security agent, Henry Goose, who was stationed at a different facility, was also caught trafficking controlled substances. Both of those were released of their jobs and later were able to bond out. A security officer and an innocent bystander were shot this week in Los Angeles outside of a liquor store. The security officer was on duty when suddenly gunshots were fired at South 7th Street and San Pedro Streets. Police do not have a suspect in custody. According to police, a security officer was shot. This happened in Raleigh, North Carolina. Again, no suspect in custody. The security officer is said to be recovering. According to NYPD, injury and attacks against their officers rose 32% just in the last year. From January 1 to March 31st, they say a 32% jump occurred. A new law in Tennessee mandates armed school security officers complete active shooter training. The new law goes into effect on July the 1st. One of these feel-good stories out of Ocala, Florida, a newborn baby who was left in a safe haven baby box has now been adopted by the firefighter who found her. According to the fire department, they were woken up by the sounds of a baby crying. The firefighter who first discovered the child and his wife has now named the baby Zoe and have adopted her. A Washington, D.C. security officer stabbed multiple times on Tuesday has died. Authorities have yet to name that security officer, and no suspects are in custody. A security company was fined $200,000 after one of their security officers died. According to OSHA, the security company did not provide the proper training or equipment. Another security officer is in serious condition after an alleged altercation. This happened at the Oakville Mall. The 75-year-old security officer is in serious condition following that altercation last week. A Michigan bill could help retain Detroit officers. Listen to this one. They want to charge the police officer tens of thousands of dollars if they leave the police force. That's right. If they leave the police department, they would have to pay for all of their academy training. If this law is passed, every police officer who decides to quit before retirement or before a certain time frame will be fined $6,389 for their recruitment, hiring, and training. Can you imagine that? A Philadelphia security officer shot a man this past week. Police are still piecing together several shootings that occurred in a neighborhood, one of them by a security officer. It happened Saturday at Vine and 63rd Street. Police say a gunman pointed the gun toward a security officer after shooting a second person, and that's when the security officer opened fire on him. Police have not decided yet to charge the security officer. A small North Carolina police department has shut down. When I say shut down, I mean completely ceased operations, no longer to be. Bethel Police Department in North Carolina has turned over all policing to the Pitt County Sheriff's Office. They say that shutting down the police department was inevitable. Budget cost, they had to cut the budget. They couldn't recruit the officers. They only had a small police department of several officers anyways, and so they're out of there. On the other flip side of the coin, in Carter County, Kentucky, they're forming a police department for their school system as part of the efforts to make sure that we are securing our school according to law. We're going to have our own police department, according to R.D. Porter, who was just hired as the police chief. We're seeing this more and more. A New York City shoplifter slashed a 63-year-old security officer at the CVS store, leaving him in serious condition. The 63-year-old security officer was rushed to a nearby hospital after being slashed at the Upper East Side CVS store. No word as to whether or not a suspect has been captured. A shooting at a mall, this happened at Syracuse, New York, sent security scrambling, customers screaming, and it was a madhouse, one person described. However, one person, a witness, Amy, said security guys were running around yelling. People were scattering. It didn't seem like they knew what to do. According to police, so far this year, 706 police calls happened at that mall, 200 more than all of last year. A man in Honolulu was arrested after he threatened a security officer with a samurai sword. Honolulu police arrested the 25-year-old man after threatening the security officer and then walking off and threatening another person. Police arrived and was able to take the suspect into custody. This after a disturbance. No word as to exactly what caused that disturbance. A man in Louisville, Kentucky, 74-year-old William May, charged with impersonating a police officer, of course. He had a gun, a badge, a uniform, lights and sirens on his vehicle, and he was caught pulling over someone and conducting a traffic stop. He first said he was a retired DEA agent and showed police a badge. Then he said no. He retired from NYPD. Then he said, no, he had retired from a small department down south. Police determined none of that was factual. In Santa Fe, New Mexico, they're going to be the first high school in the U.S. deploying robot security. That's right. Santa Fe, New Mexico schools said they have begun trying out a new program in their public schools, the first in the U.S. The robot made its first appearance at the graduation ceremony, but they'll be back at the beginning of the new security at the new school year to provide additional security. Of course, the physical security team will still be there. The robot, however, will assist them in handling other types of calls. A Houston security officer was shot in death. This was at a game room. Now police during their investigation say this was an illegal game room. According to police, a robbery occurred. The armed security officer, however, had no chance and he was killed during the robbery. When you see news happening, be sure to contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We'll take a quick break. We're coming back today. We're talking about when should you, if ever, leave the property where you're contracted to be. You're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector right here on the Private Officer Beat Radio. Across the country, there's a new 3-digit emergency number if you're feeling suicidal, if you're experiencing a life crisis. 988 is now the 3 digits that you can dial, just like 911 across the country. You'll connect with mental health professionals, and the 988 number will connect you with the Crisis Lifeline, formerly known as the National Suicide Prevention Line. Veterans can press 1 after dialing 988 to connect directly to the Veterans Crisis Lifeline, which serves our nation's veterans, service members, National Guard, and Reserve members, and those who support them. For text, veterans should continue to text the Veterans Crisis Lifeline, short code 838255. Too many people experience suicidal crisis or mental health-related distress without the support and care that they need. But you're not alone. Simply pick up the phone and dial or text 988. Someone will answer that phone who is caring, understanding, and there to help you. 988. There is hope. We have had a conversation numerous times on this radio show and on other forums and platforms talking about security officers leaving their assigned property and intervening into a situation, whether that be a disturbance on the street, a fight of some sort. And just this past month, 2 security officers fatally shot 2 people on properties where they were not contracted to be. Now, right now, both of those cases are under review and will probably be sent to the grand jury. In our conversations previously, we talked about the legalities. We talked about the difference between exigent circumstances where you see someone in a life and death situation and you intervene. Remember, if you choose to do so, your employer could still be held responsible. You're wearing their uniform. Also, this is not a decision that can be taken lightly, but unfortunately, when you are put into those situations, it's a decision that's made in less than a split second. It's a do or die situation many times, and sometimes it's not. So how do you assess when to leave the property to intervene, engage someone who may be armed or may be threatening others, or may even have shot someone else? Every scenario, every situation is going to be completely different. There's only one person that can make that decision, and that's you. You cannot base that decision on your company's policy, because I don't know personally of any company that says, oh, well, you know, you're supposed to be at XYZ apartment complex, but across the street, there's a bar, and they have a lot of problems. So every once in a while, keep your ear out. And if you see a problem, you see a disturbance, you see somebody who is threatening, just go over there and see if you can't break that up. I don't know any security company who wants their employees to go someplace that they have no authority. I mean, it's bad enough that security officers have very limited authority. That's why I'm not a big proponent of security patrolling private streets. We're seeing more and more security companies who are providing mobile and foot patrols, mainly unarmed, in many communities where they're patrolling up and down the city streets. They're patrolling business districts. They're patrolling parks. They're patrolling places where they really have no authority, at least on private property. You are that representative of the property owner or management company, and you have a little bit more authority. You can demand someone to leave the property. You can take interventions for certain violations of policies and rules. You can have more authoritative decision-making, but on public street, totally different. But we see all the time where private security officers intervene. I bring up this case here that I'm very familiar with, and it happened in Virginia Beach maybe 5-6 years ago, maybe 7, where a security officer was on duty. And I believe it was a nightclub. And there was a confrontation in the parking lot. And he got involved, which is fine because it was where he was contracted to be. But then it spilled over 2 properties over. There was a vacant lot, and then there was a 7-Eleven type store. And they went over there. And it continued that crew, that gang, that those people, they continued to whatever threaten or whatever they did, that security officer. And then they threatened the security officer. Maybe, one of the stories said that they pointed a gun at him. Even if that's the case, he should have went inside. But that security officer went across 2 private property lines to engage those people. And he shot several people, killing one of them. He was charged with murder. He was found guilty of murder. He's still in prison today. Another security officer in Ohio, same thing. He was on a private property. He heard a traffic collision. He went out to not just in front of the property, but went down to the corner to investigate. You know, that's all good to render aid, even though he left where he's supposed to be. It might have been one of those exigent circumstances where it's a life and death situation, blah, blah, blah. Move on to the point where he gets into a confrontation now with the driver of the vehicle, and he shoots and kills them, and he's charged with murder and found guilty, and he's in prison today. Well, just this month of June 2023, 2 security officers left their property because of situations that they heard and chose to get involved in. They could have called 911. They could have secured themselves. They could have maybe in one of these situations intervene because, somebody's life could have been at risk, but they both used lethal force. And they both were interrogated a number of times by the police. They're under investigation. Their cases will probably be forwarded to a grand jury. And at least in one, I would say that they definitely will come back with a warrant for that person. But in the Oklahoma situation, the security officer left the property. He engaged some people who were fighting elsewhere and got into a confrontation. Yes, one of the men had a gun, and that security officer used lethal force. He argues it was self-defense. You know what? the prosecutor is going to argue you didn't have any business over there. You didn't have any business going down there to find out what's happening. You didn't have any business. Had you not been there, had you not left where you're supposed to be, you would not have engaged that person, and you would not have had to use lethal force, and therefore, at the very least, you'll be guilty of manslaughter. Terrible. Situation happened in Nashville a number of years ago. Security officer at a business. He hears a man threatening and firing rounds at another business, and then he sees the man walking down the street. He leaves his property and engages that man and kills him. Should he have left the property? Should he have secured himself? Should he have called 911? Was his life in jeopardy at that point? Remember, in order to use lethal force, there must be imminent threat of great bodily harm or death. Was there imminent threat is going to be the question in all of these cases, just like in the case in Virginia. Did you, could you have done something different? Could you have gotten into your vehicle? Could you have gotten into the building where you were securing? Could you have called 911 and hid? Even though you're armed, that doesn't mean you have the right or the authority to engage anyone down the road or get involved in other situations unless you determine that it is an imminent threat to yourself or to another. I have no problem. I have no qualms. I have no disagreement. If you see someone pointing a gun and shooting at people, I don't care where I'm supposed to be. I know where I'm going, and I know what I'm doing. I'm going to engage. That's the right thing to do. But in some of these cases that we're talking about, there was no imminent threat. The case in Nashville, Tennessee, is an example of that. The security officers were working at one property. There was a nightclub close by. They heard a fight or an argument. They went to investigate. They saw that in another property, a parking lot, a man threatening to shoot someone. The security officers, there were two security officers, they watched. They saw the man go to his car and get a gun. He was firing in the air while threatening. I haven't seen any video that indicated that he was shooting people or that anyone had been shot. You know, we'll review that again, but as of this moment, that case is going to the grand jury, and he may be indicted. The security officer wasn't assigned to the property, to the parking lot, and he himself made the decision to engage. What I might have done was I would have called 911, and I would have, you know, probably taken my weapon out at the ready position and maybe secured myself behind a vehicle or a building to see what happened next. But I think that the security officer decided and took it upon himself to say, look, he's got a gun, he's shooting in the air, he's threatening people, that's good enough for me. Was that the right decision? I'm not second-guessing people, and I don't want you to think that I am, because I wasn't there. I say that all the time. But in some cases, you know, time is on our side, and maybe we had another minute or two before we decided to use lethal force. Assessing the situation, understand what's going on, being able to read the temperature, as I teach all the time. Was he very hot? Was it way up here or way down there or someplace in the middle? We need to gauge before we engage. We need to definitely have that scene size up and have a good understanding of what we're seeing, hearing, feeling, you know, smelling. We got to know before we use lethal force. And that's why you're seeing some police officers prosecuted now when they would not have been 10, 20 years ago. Many police officers, as soon as they felt a threat, they used lethal force. Now, they're being told by their department, by the prosecutors, by society, we want you to wait to the very last second, not minute. We want you to wait for the very last second before you use lethal force. No, that's not always the right decision. Yes, it could cost you your life. But that is what they're talking about. You know, when you are assigned as a private security officer, not a police officer, but a private security officer on a property, even if you're on a mobile or foot patrol, and you see someone who's threatening, you see someone who's carrying a gun, just because that person is armed does not mean that they're an imminent threat to you. They raise the gun in your direction or in the direction of other people, then they are definitely an imminent threat. A case, this one also in Nashville, where a police officer was arrested last year because he was involved in a mental health, what they're calling a mental health crisis, with some other officers. He gave directions to drop a gun, and he just made a decision on his own without a supervisor telling him, all right, well, maybe we should use force, lethal force. He made a decision to shoot and kill the man. Now he's been charged, and I'm not sure where that case is right now in court, but I'm definitely going to review that too this week. Use of force, use of lethal force, use of deadly force is a serious thing. Everyone says, I know. But when they are in the heat of battle or when they are in the heat of the moment, even when it doesn't involve them or it doesn't involve imminent threat or immediate threat, they still sometimes don't stop just a second to think. Sometimes you have that time to stop and reassess. Sometimes you don't have that time. And there's only one person, like I said in the beginning of this whole segment, that has to make that decision, and that's you. But when it comes to leaving your property, it would be different if that threat was on the property where you are securing, where you are assigned. Then you could say, this is my property. I told him to leave several times. He was involved in the confrontation. He pulled a gun. He threatened me. I felt like my life was in imminent danger. Now you have an argument. Now you have a leg to stand on. Now you have a defense. But when you leave a location because you hear something going on and you go elsewhere out of the area where you could protect, when you do that, when you leave a secured environment, when you leave some place where you're safe to then go and engage someone elsewhere, then that brings into many questions, and the DA and the police and others have to look at, was it necessary? Would a prudent individual leave some place where they're safe to go engage someone somewhere else where they had no real legal right or authority to be, especially in a moment when no one's life was in imminent danger? Common sense would say, you know, if the guy is not shooting at people, then maybe this isn't the right time for you to get involved. Maybe you should be waiting for, you know, the police get there. Maybe you should go to cover and wait, reassess. And maybe we have time. Like I said, it's totally different when somebody is shooting at someone else or shooting across the street at you. Then you have to engage. You have to return fire because you have to save your life. It's not an easy subject. It's not just open and shut. It's not one of those, okay, it is this or it's that. There's no in between, because that's not the way that it is. There's many shades of gray in this situation. And that's going to do it for this episode of the Private Officer Beat Radio, a production of Lou Ram Media Group, LLC, and Private Officer International. Remember, helpdesk at privateofficer.com is your point of contact. My friends, thanks for being with us today. And remember, be safe, be blessed, and we'll see you back here on the radio.